to many people listening to this right now, maybe even some who are friends of our channel, Russia's not going to do that. They've been saying stuff all throughout this war. And I'm talking from the very first year, from the first few months, they did some nuclear saber rattling and they threatened all this kind of stuff. And they said they would do this too, and they never did any of it. So allegedly, tanks were a red line. We put tanks in there. Long range artillery, that was a red line. We put that in there. Nothing happened. F-16s, ATACMs, Storm Shadow, all kinds of stuff. Everybody said, if you put this in there, then Russia's going to retaliate. We put all of it in there. Nothing happened. Then we're using targeting from our intelligence. We're training there. And Russia never did anything, because they never will do anything, because they can't do anything, because they're smart. They're not stupid. They know that if they do that, if they attack anything in Western Europe, now then it's game on. Article 5, and Russia is going to get crushed, or that they could then go nuclear and then everybody's going to lose, and they're not stupid, so they're not going to do that either. That's the general consensus of nearly everybody that I've talked to. And in our lifetimes, I don't think there's anybody, there's very few people that are still alive, if anyone, from the last time a nuclear weapon was used in August 1945 in Japan. So for that generation, they were sharply focused on even the possibility of a nuclear weapon. And there was great fear, healthy fear of that. And so people didn't want to go too far down the line to do that. We had, of course, the Cuban Missile Crisis, because of the realization of what had just happened just a handful of years before that in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That was one of the reasons why Khrushchev and Kennedy pulled down the escalation ladder, because they realized the consequences of both of them had fought in the war. So they knew that. That's one of the reasons they were able to make that situation, and we got off of it. It's one of the reasons why President Eisenhower, when the Soviets sent tanks into Hungary in 1956 and Czechoslovakia, I think it was 1968, but the subsequent, not just him, but specifically in 1956 into Hungary, we didn't go in to help them then, like we have done now with Ukraine when you had this war kick off, because he said, I am not going to risk nuclear war with the Soviet Union over this one country here, because he realized that the potential for escalation, and he wasn't about to risk your security and my security, well, those who were alive at the time, of course, because he realized that the catastrophic threat of a nuclear weapon and how devastating it would be. We've lost that. Those generations are gone. Now then, we don't think anything of it. We just think it's another saber to rattle. And that they'll never do that, because they know we have all these nuclear weapons and we would retaliate. And so that certainty will keep them from doing anything. But now then, there are those in Russia that are thinking differently. They're saying, you know what? You're not the only one that can go down that path. And if you think we would never do it, then you may be shocked. Because we may, because what they're seeing is that their country has been attacked by technology and physical support and apparently airspace support here recently from the West against their country. And let me just ask you, first of all, this question. Be honest with yourself. If your country, whether you're watching this in Great Britain or France or here in the United States, if China or Russia, through another country, Cuba, Canada, Mexico, something like that, one of the countries that are near us, if things deteriorate, we end up fighting this country here, and then they, through that country, strike targets that are now hitting American factories, American oil refineries, American storage depots, electricity grids, etc. And we know it came from them. The technology could only have come from them. Mexico or Cuba, they don't have that capability. It could only have come from them, and we know it did. Are we going to go, well, I mean, we can't do anything about it. I mean, we aren't directly at war with China or Russia, so we just can't do anything. We'll just, I don't know, we'll hit Mexico harder or something. You know that that's not the case. We would be screaming bloody murder, and we would be demanding that those countries suffer. Well, that's what is going on in Russia. They have been angry at their government for not doing that and allowing us carte blanche to do anything that we want to in Russia. And they're saying that those days need to come to an end. Now, this is even more problematic because the balance of power between the two, I keep talking about spreadsheets sometimes, and the spreadsheets between the U.S. and Iran, and how that's, you know, we're way up here and they're way down there, but still because of geography and some other stuff. Well, let's take a look at that spreadsheet, because it's changed from what it was before 2022 and before 2023 and before 2025 and six. Because now then, all of the West, we've bragged so many times. So going back to the Biden administration about all these 50 countries, primarily from Western Europe, and how we've given tens of thousands of combat vehicles, millions of rounds, hundreds of millions of rounds of various kinds of ammunition, tens of thousands, and maybe even more than that, of missiles, interceptor missiles, offensive missiles, long-range cruise missiles, all kinds of things. And we have given so much of that to Ukraine, and it's just been burned up. And our industrial capacity, because we're not at war, we don't have a wartime economy, we've marginally escalated them and expanded them, marginally, not a lot, but a little bit. And so our outgoing missile inventories is huge, because it is a wartime situation, but we're not replacing it. So our inventories keep draining. Then now that in 10/7/2023, then you've added all the U.S. especially has been sending a bunch of these same categories of missiles to Israel. And then in 2025, and I think 2024, you can start with there. We started doing stuff against the Houthis, used more missiles. And then in 2025, with Operation Midnight Hammer, we lost a bunch more there too. We gave a lot more to Israel to use against Iran, both interceptors and offensive missiles. They were so done. And then, of course, now this war. Now we've had this massive drain just in the first 40 days of this one, and we're thinking about starting another one. On the other side of the ledger is the Russian side. They have been on a military footing economically. They did go to something close to a full military mobilization of their economy. And so their defense industrial base has cranked up several times more than what it was. By some estimates I've read and some report experts I've talked to, they actually could do more. They didn't go to a full mobilization. That's why they call it a special military operation as opposed to a war, because that implies another level of industrial transformation. But what they have done, even with that, is substantial. It's like multiple times more than what it was. But now then, they have been spending the last 18 or so months stockpiling all the categories of weapons that we have been draining. Understand that. That's why this is so dangerous. It's unthinkable, because it breaks every paradigm that we've known since we were born. But when you look at the balance of power, we have been draining our stockpiles, and Russia has been building their stockpiles of the missiles that we have shown in both, really going back to the 2020 Armenia-Azerbaijan war, the Russia-Ukraine war, the Israel and its wars against Hamas, Hezbollah, and Yemen and Syria and wherever else they've been fighting, and then ours now against Iran. All the key drone capabilities and the key missile offensive and defenses that matter the most, we have drained our resources. We're trying to build up some of the drones, but it's incremental compared to what the Russian side is, which is off the charts. That's what we need to understand. The calculations are now different than they were because of our foolish actions and all these other pointless wars that never needed to have been fought. Now then, Russia is in a position to where theoretically, and again, let me just, I don't have any insight into what's actually going on inside of the Kremlin. None whatsoever. I can just read the tea leaves like you can, or see statements that are made in public. But what I can do is count. And what I do see is, while our defensive capacity and offensive capacity are both drained from what it was before, and our industrial capacity is still on a peacetime level, and it would take years to get to a wartime production capability, and the Russians are already there, and with these big stockpiles in every offensive and defensive category that matters, they have huge stockpiles by most accounting. So if they, from that position, if they can do math, they may say, we can launch conventional missiles here, and there's nothing you can do to stop virtually any of them, whether it's hypersonics or the Yureshnik. We'll hit everything that we want, and you basically have no air defense that you can stop it. And if you say, how dare you do that, Article 5, and we're now going to go to war with you, and it's the 32 nations of NATO against the one of Russia, just understand, I don't care how many countries are numbered. That's not what matters. The only thing that matters is your production capacity and how much you can do and how much you can produce and how much you have ready to defend and how much you have ready to make on offense. And it's like this. And the Russian side is like this. That's the reality. You can see where Russia, unlike anything that has existed in our lifetime, could be in a position now to take a risk thinking that, yeah, if you don't listen to us and stop your support for the Ukraine war and bring it to an end right now, then we can escalate here and we can outdo you. Now, of course, if it goes nuclear, if it's the mutually assured destruction, then none of the conventional stuff matters. And it doesn't matter if we had none and they had all. If both sides have nuclear weapons and you get into theater or nuclear weapons, it's game over for everybody. So everybody loses. But what we don't know is we have comforted ourselves by saying because of that, Russia would never take step one because they know that step five is mutually assured destruction and they're not suicidal. They're not going to do that. But what if they calculate differently? What if they calculate, I think you can do math. And I think that because you recognize that step five is mutually assured destruction, so you're not going to take step two. That would be a radical thing to do, which I hope they don't do, because I fear foolish and weak men who are scared to death but have a nuclear button nearby that they can push, that they may resort to that irrationally, that they may not do that calculation. I hope Russia doesn't put us into that situation. But unfortunately, our foolish actions up to this point have made this a plausible scenario. Because they may say, I'm tired of you hitting and you're accelerating. It's not even continuing on. It's accelerating because Ukraine has had more success striking further and deeper and more accurately into the Russian interland. And, you know, now they're using the airspace, allegedly, of NATO countries on top of the technology and the intelligence and targeting support, which everybody knows that we're providing. So now then, because we keep doing that and thinking that, well, because of that, Russia, because of the mutually assured destruction, Russia would never do anything. So we're free to do everything. They didn't respond to any of these others. You see what I'm saying here? We have deluded ourselves into thinking that we have all the escalation cards and that therefore Russia will never do anything and we're free to play in their background and blow stuff up and ha-ha, look at them. But what if the Russian side says, we're not playing that game anymore, and now then it's your turn to start sweating? It's possible. I can't stress enough. I don't have any insider information. I don't know this is going to happen, but I am enough alarmed by the categories of weapons and the dearth of weapons stockpiles on our side and the huge amounts on the other side that this is something we need to pay a lot of attention to. We need to, just like we need to walk away from this war in Iran, we need to end the one in Russia and Ukraine so we get the possibilities off the table. Because if Russia does take that decision, we would face a potential nuclear strike from somebody. And then God help us if weak and foolish men or arrogant men, if on the Russian side even, are the ones calling the shots here for all of us. We have to hope it doesn't get to that. Bit of a heavy show today, folks, but we need to make sure we're unintimidated and uncompromised to bring you the truth. And this is the evidence that's out there. And this is what some people are saying, and here's some of the fundamentals. You need to know about them. I don't want anybody to be shocked and taken by surprise by this. And if you know of anybody in your country, wherever you're watching this from, talk to your politicians, talk to your leaders, and say, it's time for us to stop being stupid and get these wars off the table so we can get back into just some kind of normal living where we don't have to worry about nuclear escalation. Thank you a lot, folks. We appreciate you. I will be traveling for the next 7 or so days. So we won't have as many shows. Gary probably will be doing some on his own. But if anything happens, I'll find a way to get onto a camera. I'm going to be on some. I'm not going to take the week off, but it might not be as many as you've gotten used to. But just wanted to let you know there, and we'll look forward to seeing you anytime there's breaking information on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive. Don't forget to tell your friends, the ones that love to listen to podcasts. Get them to add Daniel Davis Deep Dive to their podcast list. They need to know what you know. They can get it to where they already get their podcast. You just got to tell them.